Hello there, and thank you for joining me. This is Daniel Talks About Star Wars, the show where I will be doing exactly that. I am Daniel, and today, as I mentioned at the end of my previous episode on Revenge of the Sith, we're doing something a little bit different, just because I wanted to take a look at the Clone Wars film from 2008, obviously the animated sort of jumping-off point for the eventual series, which I think debuted in the same year, wasn't it? It was 2008, so yeah, I know this isn't usually included in people's discussions when people sort of talk generally about the Star Wars saga as a whole, but I thought, you know what, it was a theatrical release, I saw it in the cinema, so, you know, why not include it? And also, just talking about it allows me to stick to the schedule of release that I have in mind for these episodes when I do eventually get round to releasing them in December. So that is also partly the reason why I'm covering it, just because it's convenient for me. But yeah, as I mentioned, I did see this one in the cinema. I was only 8 at the time, so much like when I did see Revenge of the Sith, I was very young, so I don't remember an awful lot about it. I don't remember any sort of anticipation up towards seeing it. It did kind of come out of nowhere. I remember seeing the poster in the cinema and sort of being a little bit confused about what this sort of was. I do remember watching it, and again, like with episode 3, I do remember where I sat. This time we were a lot more in the middle, but towards the front as well. So they weren't the best seats, not the kind of seats I'd choose today. And again, I don't think I had much of a strong opinion about it when I did watch it for the first time. Again, I was just a young kid, so, you know, it was Star Wars, and I think that was probably enough for me. So, it's not a film that I return to an awful lot, really. I think I did watch it quite a few times when I was younger, but, you know, not so much anymore. I wouldn't choose to watch it, I don't think, you know, just generally, really. You know, when it comes to Clone Wars content, there's episodes of the show that I'd much rather watch over this. But I gotta say, I did actually rather enjoy it, which I wasn't expecting to. Because it's not a particularly well-regarded film. But I did actually have a bit more fun with it than I was expecting. So, you know, that was quite a nice surprise. But let's talk about why that is. So, jumping into it, we are treated to Kevin Kiner's music. Obviously, he's sort of revamped that main theme and done this new version with, you know, the sort of warlike drums. And yeah, it's pretty iconic at this point, I think. I'm not sure how people felt about it at the time. That was one aspect I do remember as a child in the cinema, hearing that, and I was like, ooh, this is different and cool. So yeah. And then instead of an opening crawl, obviously we have the announcer voice essentially reading an opening crawl to us, telling us what's going on, which I like. Obviously, you're not going to have an opening crawl at the start of every episode of a children's TV show, are you? And obviously, this being made up of a few episodes of what was originally just intended to be part of the first season, I do believe. Yeah, you're not going to have it here either, are you? So I do like the kind of announcer voice as this nice sort of still staying true to that idea of what the opening crawl represents and how it does sort of hark back to those old serials that George Lucas enjoyed so much. But obviously, it's just something for children to digest a lot easier, isn't it, than having to read a few paragraphs of text. But it is with that opening bit that we are given what the plot is going to be, and that is that the son of Jabba the Hutt has been kidnapped, and so the Republic has been tasked with trying to find Jabba's son, and if they do, they'll be granted access through territory that Jabba controls. So that's the plot, that's the goal of the film, and I do remember, even at the time, as an 8-year-old kid that doesn't think about an awful lot when they're watching films, but I do remember, even at the time, I remember hearing that and thinking, huh, that's what this film is going to be, about. You know, it's not the plot with the highest stakes in the world, or it's not even in really the most interesting quest. It does seem, does feel a bit random for obviously a theatrical release. I imagine the only reason this arc in particular was chosen to be, you know, the one that was turned into the film was because it's the one that introduces Ahsoka. That would be my main guess as to why this is the one that was released in cinemas. But yeah, it is, you know, it's not the most engaging plot. And right away as well, we are treated to some very prequel-y conversations. I felt like I was right back in Attack of the Clones or something. We have Palpatine, who is voiced here by Ian Abercrombie, who I think does a really lovely job. I do like him in the role. And Mace Windu as well, who Sam Jackson returned, which is, you know, quite nice. They have a brief conversation as they're walking, and it's very low-key, and I was right back in the prequels. but it's over rather quickly. Obviously, you got to keep those kids entertained. And we transition to Christophsis, the battle that's going on there. We get... we're also introduced to Admiral Yularen, who is not a major character, but this is something that also stood out to me when I was a kid. Just because Tom Kane, who voices Yularen, is also obviously the voice of Yoda, but he does the announcer guy voice as well at the start of the film, and that voice that he does is essentially the same voice as Yularen. And when I was a kid, I was like, oh, this is the guy that was talking at the beginning. Like, why is he the guy that talked at the start? Like, what's so significant about him? And it really, like, confused me. I was like, who is this guy? But obviously it's not meant to be. It's just, it's because it's Tom Kane that it sounds so similar. But yeah, that was just something that really threw me off in the cinema, I remember, when I watched it the first time. But down on the surface of Christophsis, where the battle is going on, we get Anakin and Obi-Wan, here voiced by Matt Lanta and James Arnold Taylor, respectively. And yeah, both really great picks, I think. Obviously, James Arnold Taylor had voiced Obi-Wan prior to this, and, you know, you can see why. He's a very good sound alike for Ewan McGregor, but he does put his own spin on it as well, I think, and he is kind of the definitive voice of Obi-Wan. You know, even when I could be reading a book or a comic or something that features Obi-Wan, and James Arnold Taylor's voice is the voice that I'll kind of hear in my head when I'm reading. So, like, you know, he is the quintessential Obi-Wan voice. He does capture the character very well. And Matt Lanter, he obviously does not sound much like Hayden Christensen. Obviously, that was a very deliberate choice. But he is very good of it. He brings an awful lot of charisma to the character, which was much needed after the prequels. And I suppose it could be quite distracting at first. I think, obviously, you know, The Clone Wars is 12 years old at this point, and Matt Lanter obviously voiced him throughout the entire Clone Wars series. So, you know, we're all used to him by now, but I'm sure at the time it could have been quite jarring. But the Battle of Christophsis I do actually quite like a lot. You know, it was very enjoyable. I like Christophsis as a planet, and I thought the animation looked alright as well. I mean, obviously this year we did have the final season of The Clone Wars, where that animation was just fantastic. It looked amazing. So, you know, comparatively, the animation here, you know, it doesn't look great. But when you this is 2008, you compare it to other animated series at the time. What they did with The Clone Wars was, you know, really impressive. This looks a lot better than a lot of CGI shows that you get now, you know. So even if it still had a long way to go, and it, you know, it would improve as time went on, you can tell that it's got that George Lucas money behind it, because, you know, it is quite good in its own right, but it's just not quite there yet. You know, plenty of room for improvement. And here, of course, we do meet Ahsoka for the first time, initially introduced as Obi-Wan's new Padawan, but sneaky Obi-Wan and Yoda, they actually intend for her to be Anakin's apprentice, and he's not too pleased about that. And yeah, it's fun seeing Ahsoka make her debut. You know, Ahsoka is a character that I have really come to love. You know, her appearances in Rebels and in the Clone Wars, and obviously just how she grows throughout the rest of the show. You know, she is a really good character, and I think she has become probably one of my favorite characters. I kind of love it when she pops up now, and I get very excited to think about what she might do next, and maybe she'll even appear in The Mandalorian. As I'm recording this, we're only one episode into the second season, so there's still room for her to show up. I'm kind of fingers crossed that she does, because I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, seeing her origin here is just really interesting, because comparing it to how she is in the last few episodes of The Clone Wars as well, she really does mature. And it's also just really interesting to think about how, you know, how sort of hated she was when she did initially appear in this film and in the first couple seasons of The Clone Wars, because I think it's undeserved, the hate that she got. I think people just struggle with change, because obviously, you know, it is a bit of a stretch to try and believe that Anakin did have an apprentice of his own during the time in between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, because obviously we just don't get any kind of hints towards that in episode 3. I think they have handled it well, where the Clone Wars does very comfortably fit in, and I'm talking about the Clone Wars as a whole, you know, the series included. It does fit in quite nicely in between those two films, but just this film isolated on its own, you know, it does seem like a pretty major retcon. I don't think Ahsoka is very annoying or anything like that. I mean, obviously she is a bit too kind of sure of herself, and she does have that kind of quality about her, which can be, I suppose, which could get on people's nerves. And I do find the whole like Sky Guy thing, you know, a tad cringy, for lack of a better term. But, you know, overall, I don't think she doesn't deserve the hate that I think she got. But that's true of most things that get hated on in this series. People tend to overreact, shall we say, about certain things if it doesn't really appeal to their personal tastes. We get a brief moment where we see Count Dooku, who is voiced by Christopher Lee, so it's nice that he returns as well. We are also introduced to Asajj Ventress, who is a character that I tend not to think about her very much, but I do actually really enjoy her, and I think she is a very good addition to the canon. I like her look, I like the actress that portrays her. I think it's Nika Futterman, if I'm pronouncing either of those words correctly. I think she actually does a really good job. I've never really thought about the credit she deserves, because she really plays the hell out of this character. And yeah, she's just a nice addition. I love her lightsabers as well. They're very like square in design, and I don't know, I just like that. And I like the fact that they like connect and stuff, and they're curved. That's cool. So yeah, Asajj Ventress. I might have to watch some more Clone Wars episodes that focus on her. And I need to read the Dark Disciple book as well, because, yeah, just watching this film, I was like, yeah, I really like her, actually. So it kind of got me interested in exploring her character a bit more. Going back to the Battle of Christoph Sis, it was just a lot of fun, I thought. The opening kind of, the first episode, if you like, of this arc, because I think you can kind of tell, well, you definitely can tell, when different episodes like start and end, and this first kind of, I think it was probably about 4 episodes, and then maybe some additional stuff they added in just to link them up a bit more. But this first episode, which is just sort of all the battle stuff and the introduction of Ahsoka, I thought was really solid and enjoyable, and it actually reminded me of kind of the beginnings of films like Return of the Jedi and like Revenge of the Sith, where you have a really like well-defined kind of opening action sequence that's just a bit of fun. You know, I'm thinking about the Jabba's Palace and the sail barge stuff in episode 6, and then the stuff on the Invisible Hand, like the battle over Coruscant, you know, rescuing Palpatine at the start of Revenge of the Sith. You know, it did remind me of that, and it kind of did fit in with that kind of structure of like these other Star Wars films as well, to just have this kind of exciting, action-packed and fun opening sequence before we get into the sort of the more plot-heavy parts of the film. So that was actually quite nice. And I will say as well that even though I do think Matt Lanter's performance could be quite jarring, as I mentioned. His Anakin is actually a lot more consistent with Anakin from the films than I initially gave it credit for. You know, I always saw Matt Lanter's casting and just the way that Anakin is in this film and in the series to be, you know, quite a departure. But actually, listening to some of the lines he said in this film, you can definitely imagine Hayden Christensen kind of saying them, but it's just the way Matt Lanter delivers them and the way he was directed probably a bit differently as well. It makes so much difference, because if Hayden Christensen had said them, maybe it was George Lucas directing, you can imagine how they would come across more kind of, well, like Anakin does in the prequel films. But here, you know, the charisma and the charm that Matt Lanter brings to it, it makes so much difference where, and that's obviously a big part of where the prequels fell down. You know, they would be so much stronger, and Anakin, I think, would be a much stronger character in those films if they were able to bring that kind of charisma and charm to him. So as this opening action sequence kind of comes to an end, we get, I'm not sure if it's the first time we hear it, but it was the first time I noticed when Ahsoka and Anakin are talking, that we hear Ahsoka's theme, and that's just a piece of music that I really, really love. You know, it's become one of my favorite, like, little leitmotifs, if I'm using that word correctly, you know, throughout the whole Star Wars universe. Especially when it's played on, like, those, what instrument is it? Like, the pan flute, I think it could possibly be, or, like, similar wind instruments, I think, whenever I hear that music, I get excited. But, yeah, as this whole segment comes to an end, Yoda kind of briefs Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka on the mission, how they need to go and rescue Jabba the Hutt's son. Obviously, Anakin is not too pleased about that, which is just, you know, a nice detail. It's nice that they're not, even if they don't directly reference the fact that Anakin was a slave and all those horrible things that happened to him on Tatooine with his mum dying, and obviously just, I mean, generally being a slave as a child, not good anyway. Even if they don't directly reference those things, it's nice that they still allude to them without having to say them. So the fact that Anakin obviously isn't on board with this mission, he's not too pleased about having to go and rescue Jabba the Hutt's son, it's nice that they just don't ignore it, is what I'm trying to say. And there is a nice line as well from, I forget who says it exactly, but the discussion between Obi-Wan and Yoda, when one of them says it'll be good for Anakin to have a Padawan, and then I forget what the other's reply is, but then the other person replies with, it's Yoda, he's saying it'll be difficult for Anakin to let go of his Padawan, like, when the time comes, and, like, that's essentially what they're trying to train him to do by giving him Ahsoka, by kind of, because obviously that's a huge part of Anakin's character. You know, he can't let go, he desperately clings onto people, and I just really like the inclusion of that little discussion, because it's kind of, it doesn't even work out. Like, they give Anakin Ahsoka, and they have this incredible bond throughout the Clone Wars series, and even you see it developing here, like, I think a bit later on, their relationship is really nice, and they're really good together, and obviously Anakin gets very attached to her, you know, he loves Ahsoka, and he has a really hard time letting her go, so it didn't help in the slightest, really. It didn't train him to kind of learn how to do that. It only kind of, it just reinforced it even more in him, really, just how much he does cling on to people. So that's interesting and a nice touch. But yeah, Anakin and Ahsoka go off on their mission. They go to Teth. When they arrived there, I noted that I thought the music was really nice. There was this nice balance, I think, up until this point in the film, where I was really enjoying the music, because I thought the balance between sort of doing John Williams, but then with Kevin Kiner also putting his own spin on things. Like, there's a few sounds in the film of things that you just know John Williams would never do, like certain instruments. So that's nice that Kevin Kiner did that, and he does it well, I think, up until a point. Because I noted, I wrote in my notes that the music as a whole is pretty good, and I thought in particular the track that plays when they arrive on Teth, like they're in the gunship, is really nice as well. And then it's like the film deliberately decided to throw that back in my face, because then there's that part shortly after they're kind of they're scaling that cliff thing. They're trying to get to that monastery in there. And then, like, these electric guitars start playing, and, like, there's these drums, and it didn't work at all. And it felt like I'd just given Kevin Kiner a compliment saying how well-balanced I thought his score was, and then he just went totally, like, off the rails. And it wasn't, like, a terrible piece of music, but it didn't fit at all, and it wasn't very Star Wars-y, and I just think that balance is important, because you can do things differently. Like I say, you know, before that, he was introducing certain sort of sounds and instruments that you just know John Williams wouldn't really go with, because that's not his thing. So there is a balance there that he was striking. But then, yeah, immediately after I made that note, it was just like, no, here's some guitar riffs. And so that wasn't the best. But that scene in general, though, I did quite enjoy. It's quite a fun action bit. And Ahsoka and Anakin's banter is really nice. I did enjoy that. So it doesn't completely ruin the scene, but it did stand out very much. It's here that the film kind of lost me a little bit, because I did genuinely enjoy it up until this point, and I was having somewhat of a crisis, because I was like, oh my god, am I going to end up liking this more than, like, Phantom Menace, Revenge of the Sith? I was having quite the anxiety about it. But then this whole kind of middle portion on Teth, where Anakin and Ahsoka are looking for the baby, and they find the baby, and then all that kind of stuff, it did start to drag a little bit. And it's definitely here where the whole thing with it being three or four episodes, sort of one after another like this, did start to hurt the pacing, where you kept having these pretty clearly defined beginnings and ends. So it you're constantly stopping and starting, and it doesn't do anything for the pacing. It was all right for the first part, because, like I say, it was kind of reminiscent of, you know, just that exciting opening action, like what you get in some of the other films. But then you can't keep doing that, because it doesn't lend itself to very good pacing, and it makes the film feel a lot longer than it actually is. So that's where the film started to lose me. And I don't even have an awful lot to say about the stuff on Teth, which is the majority of the film, really. I like the battle droids in this. I think they're genuinely quite funny. The lightsaber duel between Asajj Ventress and Obi-Wan, because he turns up to help, wasn't very good. There's far too much talking. Like, they do some lightsabering for, like, 5 seconds, and then they have to say something snarky to each other, and then that's just, like, rinse and repeat multiple times. Like, that's pretty much what the fight was. And the dialogue between them itself was pretty, again, I'm just gonna say, cringy. You know, it's not the best. So, and then kind of as you get towards the end of the film, the problem of sort of the pacing and stuff kind of it persists, because then towards the end we have Padme, who kind of gets involved in the action. You know, she kind of comes out of nowhere. We're introduced to Zero the Hutt, and there's not a very good reveal of the fact that he is helping the Separatists sort of orchestrate this plot of kidnapping Jabba's son, blaming the Republic for it. It's not good to introduce a character and then in the next scene, after having introduced that character, you say that that same character is actually behind everything. Like, it's not a very good reveal, because you don't even have time to really process who this new character is. Like, is it, well, it's not even a reveal, and there's no real weight behind it, because we don't even know who this guy is, really. Going back to Anakin and Ahsoka, once they're done on Teth, they are obviously intent on delivering, is it Rotta? Rotta the Hutt? So we're back on Tatooine, and yeah, Tatooine isn't a very nice place to be, just because of how the colour palette while we're there, and the general aesthetic of the whole place just doesn't look particularly nice. It's quite ugly, to be perfectly honest. However, the desert showdown that Count Dooku and Anakin have is actually really cool, I thought. That was actually a big step up from Obi-Wan and Ventress's fight earlier, and there's not even that much talking. I mean, Dooku starts saying a lot, he's trying to rile Anakin up, but Anakin's not rising to it, which is nice, because he feels like the kind of guy that usually would. But yeah, so their fight together was actually pretty good, I thought. And the music there was noticeably quite good as well. So Ahsoka's off doing her own thing. She is delivering the baby, or trying to. Not delivering, she's not giving birth. She's, you know, trying to get the baby back to Jabba. So she's taking him to his palace, and she is intercepted by three Magna Guards. And it's just interesting to see how much Ahsoka sort of struggles in this scene. Obviously, she's only just a Padawan. I think she's very young for, well, they say as much, she is very young for sort of the age of a youngling. So obviously she's very inexperienced, but it's just interesting to see her struggle like this, because again, having come recently from the final season of the Clone Wars, where she's throwing down with Darth Maul, and you see how well she handles herself there, you know, it is really interesting to see just how far she has come. But yeah, they manage to deal with it. They get the baby back. Jabba's about to kill them anyway for some reason, because I guess that's just the kind of guy he is. But thankfully Padme gets on the phone and is like, no, don't worry, actually Zero did it, so you're going to let the Republic use your go through your territory, right? And he's like, yeah, I guess so. So then the film ends very abruptly, actually. It's like a minute after that happens that they all kind of just stand outside Jabba's palace and look at the camera and wave goodbye. And yeah, that concludes the film. Not an awful lot to say about it, obviously. I know this has been a very short episode, but you know, it's a pretty short film. And when it comes to the Star Wars saga, we've got bigger fish to fry, so I don't want to spend too much time on this one. But, you know, it was worth talking about. And honestly, I did actually enjoy it a lot more than I thought I would. Particularly the opening was really enjoyable, I thought. And, you know, it's just fun to see things like Ahsoka, like, you know, Rex being introduced to him for the first time, who I've not even mentioned. You know, those aspects of Star Wars that have become, you know, pretty important at this point. You know, people, including myself, love Ahsoka, love Rex. You know, they're major parts of the canon now, and you know, to see their beginnings here is great. And then also just comparing it to obviously just how far we've come, not just in terms of with the characters, but also just in terms of the animation, you know, that technology, you know, it's just a little blast from the past, and I quite enjoyed revisiting it. But you know, I can't deny it, it's been the worst one so far. But even then, I had a good time, so you can see where the bar is just in terms of, you know, the bottom of my list. So that's where it would go, the Clone Wars, you know, perfectly enjoyable, but ultimately not great. So that means, yeah, my list at the moment goes Clone Wars, then The Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith are tied, Attack of the Clones after that, Empire Strikes Back, A New Hope, and then Return of the Jedi is still number one for me. So yeah, we're getting through it. And that means next week I'm very, very excited to be transitioning into the Disney era of Star Wars, into the sequel trilogy and the spin-offs. That's going to be really good and really fun for me to talk about, because I feel like I've got an awful lot to say. So that was Star Wars The Clone Wars from 2008. It was directed by Dave Filoni, and it was written by Henry Gilroy, Stephen Melching, and Scott Murphy, based, of course, on Star Wars by George Lucas. Thank you for listening to this episode 7 of my show. The Force Awakens is next, so thank you for listening, and goodbye.